up and count successes like diamonds in my hand. But the trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand in Christ alone.
Let's stand if you will. It is good to see everyone here. Good to see everyone here on a Wednesday night. God bless you. Our guests that are with us come to join us for our Bible study tonight. We are going to be turning to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 51. And we're going to start a little subject this evening that it's going to take us a few weeks to finish. And we're just going to do a general study concerning the subject. And we're going to be talking about the rapture. And it's a subject that's not taught on very often, it seems like, in the last few years. But I think it's something that every church should be aware of and have a sense of knowledge concerning this incredible subject. The rapture. Now, let me start off by prerequisiting this by saying, if you were to stand 50 end time preachers up here, They'd all give you a different scenario on the rapture. We'd all be leaving at different times, going different ways. And hopefully we'd all see, if they're all apostolic, we're all going to be seeing the same person. But so I'm not here to tell you that I have this all wrapped up. Blessed is he that understands. And I think it's something that the Lord certainly wants us to have an understanding about. However, there is one thing I know for sure. He is coming back. That I know. And the second thing that I want to know, somebody blowing, is that, who's blowing that horn back there? Am I going to get in trouble again, Sister Hill? Is that your daughter? I got in trouble last time. I better be careful. Let them scream. 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15 and verse number 51. So we're gonna read just a couple of scriptures. I'm going to let you sit down. And then I'm going to read tonight a collection of scriptures concerning the second coming of the Lord. And just from reading these collection of scriptures, you are going to be able to see how so many different viewpoints can be taken. And, you know, the only thing we can really be sure about is hindsight when it comes to prophecy, speaking of future events. Some of the greatest biblical teachers that ever lived during the days of Jesus Christ. Yet they missed his coming. However, they had the same scriptures to look at that we have today. Nothing's been added to it. The difference is you and I can look at the life of Jesus, look back on the scripture, and say, how did they miss that? How did they not know that he was going to come and die as the Lamb of God and shed his blood and resurrect? How did they not see all of that in those great prophecies of the Old Testament? But they so missed it, they crucified him. He fulfilled all of those scriptures. And yet the greatest scholars of biblical scholars in the world at the time could not properly interpret the scriptures. So hindsight's easy, and I certainly hope all of us here tonight are able to stand on the balcony of heaven after the rapture and look down and say, how'd they miss that? I certainly hope you're not looking up from another direction saying, how'd I miss that? All right, let's get into scripture. I know you're standing. Some of you got weak knees like me. All right, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death of sin and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Praise God. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Father, we know you are coming back. You are coming back for a people, that a bride that hath made herself ready. Lord, we know that you're going to take your church out of this world. It excites us. It strengthens us to know one day, God, soon, we hope, we will be with you forever in heaven, abiding with you in the presence of angels. Jesus, bring revelation and understanding. Strengthen us. Help us to stay steadfast while we wait upon your appearing, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody say amen. Turn to two or three people and say, the Lord is coming. All right, turn to one more and say, are you ready? Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So we know that through the scripture here, and we're just barely going to scratch the surface tonight. So just some little teaching here. We'll get deeper as this progresses. But just through the first set of texts, we see that one of the purposes of the rapture, one of the main things that happen in the coming of the Lord, is that I finally get to put this old flesh down. I get to lay this old antagonizer down. I don't know about you, but he antagonized me today. I got mad at the old flesh today. I get mad at my flesh every day that I live. I just want to step out of him and look at him and say, what's wrong with you? Why can't you get your act together and straighten up and walk with God? And everything that you know you've been taught in that old gray matter is right to walk with God. But there's something about this old fallen flesh. It just doesn't want to go the ways of God. It doesn't want to do the things of God. It doesn't like the holiness of God. But oh, there's a cry in the heart of man, in the spirit of the redeemed, to be like him, to walk like him, and to shed this old flesh. I come to tell you, the day is going to come when we're going to shed this mortality, and we're going to put on immortality. We're going to shed this corruption, and we're going to put on incorruption. Oh, that ought to get us excited. Praise God, praise God. We ought to get excited when we think about the coming of God, the translating of this whole flesh into spirit. Hallelujah. Death is going to be swallowed up in victory. Death, where is thy sting, O grave? Where is thy victory? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. We're going to just read some scriptures here. And these scriptures are going to just sort of talk about what we call the rapture. And we all know the word of the rapture is not even in the Bible. It just simply means a catching away. Is the definition of that word, and it's a word that we use in substituting. Instead of me saying, praise God, brother, are you excited about the catching away of the church? I can say, are you excited about the rapture? So we just got to shorten it up there a little bit. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. My God, have mercy. There's so much power in this subject of Christ coming back for his church. Those of you that are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you who was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified, that may be glorified in you, in ye, in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to look here at these verses, and I'm just going to touch on this. We'll deal with this more as the subject goes on, but I just kind of want to put this thought in your mind. Now, so there are those that teach with the rapture that the trump of God's going to sound, the church is going to be lifted up out of this earth, and then there's going to be 7 years of tribulation and plague. And then there are those who believe the rapture is coming in the middle of the tribulation, that the church goes through the first 3.5 years and the rapture comes, and then there's 3.5 years of the wrath of God. And then there are those who believe the rapture is after the 7 years of tribulation, and that the church is going to go through all 7 years of tribulation. And when everything is said and done, then when Jesus is coming to bring final destruction upon this earth, we will be raptured to meet him in the sky and immediately come back down with him. And so you have to ask yourself the question, how in the world is it possible to have such diversity in understanding of the Word of God when it comes to this obviously very important subject in God's Word? Now, let me sum it all up simply by saying this, or at least let's bring a quick conclusion in the beginning, and that is that we may not know when he's coming, but one thing is important: we need to be ready when he does. Some people say, well, if you thought the Lord was coming after the 7 years of tribulation, then you could just kind of live how you want and not worry about it. No, that's not true. I might die tomorrow. I could die before the rapture ever got here. I got to live for God every day, no matter what, no matter when I believe it might be. I have to live for God every day of my life, because my rapture might come tomorrow. And we look at this Thessalonian book. Now tonight I'm just going to really confuse you and throw this together and give you little tidbits here, and then hopefully as we go a little ways we can make sense out of these different opinions. Okay, is that all right? I'm going to try to show you all three and then just tell you live for God and forget about it. All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And to you, I just read this, I know, but I want you to see something here. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. Paul the apostle says there to the great church of Thessalonica. He says, rest with us, because when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven. Now, there are those who believe that this is talking about the rapture. With his mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So when you read that, you look at that and say, well, when Jesus is coming, it looks like he's coming with vengeance. It looks like he's coming with destruction upon the earth. The saints are going to meet him. That's the rapture. They obviously aren't with him, otherwise they would not have to meet him. So that must be the coming up out of the earth. It must be the rapture. And so you look at those scriptures and you say, why, my, woo, it might be that it's at the very end. But hold on, we're not done yet. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 3, knowing this, that there shall first come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep and all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that the word of God, the heavens were of old, and that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was then being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of the ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come how? As a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works therein shall be burned up. Verse 11, seeing then that all things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons are ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now the main thing that Paul's trying to stress here is that yes, he's coming, and what we need to do is be diligent in our walk with God, because he's coming like a thief in the night. You cannot predict it. You do not know the day or the hour, the word of God says. We just know the time and the season. And I say it's that season. I believe God is soon to come. I believe he's coming for his church. And I want to be ready. Now remember what I just read to you. It's 1,000 years is a day. So when I say he's coming soon, and it's tomorrow, it could be 1,000 years. But in his time, he's coming soon. But I believe we're seeing things, and we're going to talk about that. Okay, let's go on. Y'all ready for a little bit more confusion? And then we'll try to work it all out. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things therefore, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. That verse I was tying with the one before, what Paul said to be diligent. Now the key for the church, and we're going to start trying to break this down a little more scripture tonight, and then we're going to try to get into this a little better as we go along. But the key for the church is that we be prepared for the rapture. Whether this one over here is right, that has him coming before the 7 years of tribulation, whether this one over here in the middle is right coming, or whether this one over here on the end is right, it is our duty, according to the scriptures that I have read to you, that we make ourselves ready, that we become a church that is without spot and without wrinkle, reaching for a world that is lost and dying, believing God, or believing in our heart that he could come tomorrow, yet living and understanding that it may be years down the road. We must prepare ourselves for the coming of God.
2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, everybody say, he promised. We look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace. How? Without spot and with blamelessness, being blameless over and over and over. When Paul the apostle talks about the coming of God, the thing that is found in every one of the scriptures or passages is be ready, be diligent, don't get caught off guard, keep yourself clean, stay separate. He's coming. Make sure you're ready. This thing needs to beat so hard in our heart that every day when I get up, God, you could come today. I've got to be clean today. I've got to be clean right now. I've got to purify my mind and my heart. I must walk diligent before you, God, because you promise you're coming. Now that's good preaching, but we don't live it. It sounds good, but it's hard to live. Most of us live like, first of all, we're going to live to be 150. And God ain't coming for 200 years. So let's invest everything we got into this world and into its goods and into its pleasures.
Yeah, that was really strong. I got one little thank you, Lord, out of that. I know it hurts. You ought to try to get up here and spank yourself. See how that feels. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Let's go a little bit further. Is this okay? Now here we go again. Paul's talking again. Watch what he's saying here. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. Talking about the church. Washing with the washing of water by the word. Why? What's all this about? That he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I've got news for this church tonight. God's not coming back for a lukewarm, lazy, mediocre church. God's coming back for a church that's on fire, a church that believes in him, a church that has separated herself from the world and its filthiness. He's coming back for a church that has cleansed herself of every spot, that has pressed out every wrinkle. He's coming back for a people who look for him every day of their life. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He said, when I come back, will I find faith? I want to tell him yes, 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 yes.
Clap your hands to the Lord and give him praise.
Praise God. James put it this way. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's pure religion. And why is that pure religion? Because the whole purpose of this thing is for God to get a bride. Everything that's happening, everything that's going on, all of the prophecies and the cross and the shedding of the blood and everything that's taking place, the power of the church in the world today, revival, everything that is happening, all of this is summed up is that God is coming back for
a bride. And his word says this bride he's coming back for is spotless and without wrinkle. So the word of the Lord tells us that the pure religion in the book of James is to keep himself unspotted from the world, because his purpose is to make our way back to Christ. You know, if you're going to be a Buddhist, then you have to study the writings of Buddha. That's just the way it is. And if you're going to be a Muslim, then you have to study the Quran and learn the teachings of Allah and follow them. And if you're going to be a Christian, then you're going to have to study the Bible and learn about Jesus Christ and learn what the word of the Lord says, what it means to be a Christian, and begin to live for God and work in his kingdom, waiting with bated breath for his return. Whether that's with fire to destroy the earth, whether that's to pull you up for a few years to go have a meal at the Lord's Supper somewhere and then come back a few years later all dressed in white to take care of things on the earth. Either way, I have to be ready when it happens. I have to be ready when it happens. You know, to be a Christian, you have to be moldable. You have to be able to be molded by God. We talked about that a few weeks ago, about being that new lump of clay. God can make you mold. You have to be teachable. Say, I have to be teachable. Say, I have to be pliable. Say, flexible. Say, Pastor, tell me what I need to do. Say, preach to me. Now, I got news for you. If you're teachable, it's fixable. Whatever it is. That's what this is all about. Because God knows that we're imperfect. And if we were to make ourselves naked before God in the Spirit, there would be spots everywhere. And we'd look like them dogs. What's them dogs with all that meat hanging out their face? A Shar Pei? Huh? Dalmatian. I got that old skinny face with that old tight skin. I'm talking about that skin hangs over and you. No, it's even worse than them, guys. It's this little bitty thing. A pug. Well, you can't really see their face. It's just skin. That's how some of us look in the Spirit. But the Lord says he's coming back for a church that's without spot and without wrinkle. So if you're teachable, it's fixable. That's what the church is all about. That's why you come to church. That's why you come to the house of God on Sunday. Why you go to prayer on Thursday. It's why you come to church on Wednesday night so pastor can get tough on you. Stretch it out. Stretch it out. Iron it straight. Cleanse off the spots. I want to be spotless. I want to be without wrinkle. I want to be ready for the rapture when he comes back for the church and the trump of God sounds and the dead in Christ rise and we that are alive and remain shall be caught up. Praise God. If we're going to make it in the rapture, we have to be willing to be changed. Bent and molded and shaped. Pliable. So that God can make us without spot and wrinkle. We need to remember that God saved us out of this world. And he didn't save me out of sin to give me better understanding and power so that I can go back into sin.
And then for some reason at that moment think I can handle it. Because you can't. You can't be saved without God. In fact, the scripture goes as far to say you can't be saved without a preacher. He so ordained it that you have to hear the word of God. And there's a lot of variables involved in that. Why God brings us together that way. He saved us out of this world. Therefore, we should be trying to get as far away as anything that looks like the world, smells like the world, and you know what I'm talking about, things that are worldly and ungodly. We should be trying to distance ourselves from those things, because when God comes back, I don't want him have to sifting through the crowd, and I blend in so well, he can't even find me. I want it to be when he comes back, I'm shining like a little beacon in the middle of darkness. That there's no doubt he can see there. There's one over there. And just bring us up out of this earth. Praise God. Hallelujah. In my carnal, limited mind and ability to perceive, if you look like the world to me, how much like the world must you look to God, who is pure and holy? So we want to separate ourselves from the world, distant ourselves from the things of the world, distant ourselves from the things which even appear to be evil in some form or fashion. Acts chapter 15 and verse 14. I don't have much more to go here tonight. I'm on page 11 of 61, so we're going to be teaching this for a little while. Not all tonight, though, I promise you. Acts 15 and 14 says, Simon hath declared how God at first did visit the angels. And to do what? To Gentiles. God at first did visit the Gentiles. Thanks for listening and reading and watching and everything. Catching that. Gentiles. To do what? To take out of them a people for his name's sake. Look at Colossians chapter 3, 1 and 2. So what did God do? God came and he visited the Gentiles. He came into this world, died, resurrected, sent back his spirit first upon the Jews that received it, then the Samaritans, and he made his way into the Gentiles. What was he doing there? He is carving out. He is separating him a people that when he comes back will be ready for him. Some will already be in the grave. But Paul said, those of us that are alive are not going to hinder them. But the ones that are dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we which are alive and remain, those of us that are still here, we're going to be caught up with them. And so God came amongst the Gentiles. That's me and you. And he began to cut off. He began to carve out. He began to call out a people unto himself. I don't want to blend back in what God took me out of. I want to get as far away from it as I can get. I want to be as separated as I can become. Oh, would somebody hear this preacher today? Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 puts it this way. If ye then being risen with Christ, if you're a new creature in Christ, if you've been buried in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, you come out of the water a new creature, the Bible tells us. If ye then being risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not things on the earth. Listen to me. If God comes back and if you're still in love with this world and the things of this world, then you're not going home with him. He said, you want to go up there, set your affections. Start now.
You want to go in the rapture? You got to start now. You can't wait till then. I've got to love it now. I got to want the things of heaven now. I've got to put my affection on the things of heaven now. Oh, put your hands together for the Lord. I'm gonna make it in this thing we call the rapture, catching away of the bride of Christ. I'm gonna go away with him when he comes, whenever that may be, however that may be. And maybe when we get done with all this, maybe Jesus will come down in the flesh and tell us. Maybe. Maybe not. But we'll look into this and study this. But this much I know, if I'm gonna go, I have got to set my affections on the things above. And I'm just going to tell you, and I think if we would all be honest with ourselves and one another, there are still too many things on this earth I'm in love with. There are too many things around me that are worldly, that have a way of attaching themselves to me and getting a hold on me. And I can feel them pull me. Remember what Jesus said. He said, go tell that old fox he have nothing in me. Jesus couldn't never yield it to temptation. He was tempted, but he never yielded because there was nothing in him for the devil to get a hold of. But I got all kinds of love handles all up inside of me with the devil. He reaches up in my life and there's envy and there's strife and there's lust and there's hunger and there's the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and all these things that dwell up in our flesh and things he'll flash up before you. He'll put wants in your heart that aren't right. He'll cause you to do things and take your time, your effort, your monies, your energies and spend them on earthly and worldly things when you could have benefited the kingdom with it. And he does that. Why? Because there's still a love on the inside of you that pulls and struggles with you. He said, set your affections on above. I want to fall in love with the things of heaven. I've never been there, but I can dream about it. I can read about it. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. But how do you love it, Pastor? I can't taste it. I can't see it. I can't feel it. I've never been there. I'll tell you how you love it. You get in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And those things that God has prepared for us, that no eye has seen and no ear has heard, the Bible says the Spirit will begin to reveal them to you. And you will begin to see the things of heaven. And you will fall in love with the gifts of the Spirit, with the fruits of the Spirit, with your God, with the ways of heaven. Woo! You'll find yourself so attracted that when he begins to come, you won't know why. But before the trumpet ever blows, you'll start jumping. Something is attracting me to him. Everybody say the rapture. I'm going to bring this to close here in just a moment. As I said earlier, the word rapture is actually not even in the word. It refers to the catching away of the saints. It is a word that is properly employed to simplify this expression. Called up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So instead of walking around saying, caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, I'll see you, brother, caught up in the clouds with the Lord in the air. We just say, I see you in the rapture. Don't we see a song, something like that? That's it. I'll meet you in the rapture. I love them old songs.
I got a CD in my car. My family literally hates me when I put it on. And I put it on all the time, especially if I'm by myself. But it's those old, old songs. And if I don't offend you, can I say this? It's them old songs in the Baptist church that I grew up on. Them old Baptist songs. They move you and stir you because they were written by people through persecution and tribulation. Today our writers, they lay their head on their silk pillows and their thermopedic beds, whatever they call them, and under their nice comforter, and the Lord moves on them. And they write their song of tribulation. No, I'm talking about the one, is it Amazing Grace, I think? How sweet the sound. I don't want to get the stories mixed up. One of them, he was on a boat, just found out all his kids had just drowned, his wife had drowned. And it is well with my soul was that one. And then God moved on him. It is well with my soul. I don't know how I got off on all that, but I'm telling you, I love them songs. I just can't stand this junk on the radio today. That's just me. I'm just saying. Especially after you hear the song and then see them. You go, what? Are you serious? Okay, I'm being critical, judgmental, and ugly right now. So we're going to continue. Anyway, I like them old songs. And I don't know how I got on that. Because it's not in my notes. So anyway. Oh, caught up in the air. We're doing about that big phrase. So we say rapture. The Latin word rapto means to be seized forcefully. That's where the word rapture comes from the word rapto. And it means to seize forcefully. It's not a gentle grab. It's a, I love you. I'd only do it because I know he ain't going to hit me back. It means seize. God's going to grab us so fast, he's going to pull us right out of our skin. That's pretty fast. He's going to seize us forcefully. It's called the rapture. To seize as one seizes a prize. Comes from another word which means harpazo, the other part of that word. To seize, to catch away, to catch up, to pluck up, to pull away by force, to snatch out. And so when you put it all together, it means the snatching up of, to remove bodily out of, to pick up out of. And so the rapture, the word rapture was formed that one day he's going to stand. What, do you hear it? Huh? You hear it? Stand. See, y'all didn't make it. Only a handful of us went. You left behind. According to that series, you got hope. That's another teaching all in itself, I guess. We might deal with it in this one before it's all over. But I want to get up every day and I want to say, God, I want my ears tuned. I want to hear it when you blow it. I want to hear it. And if my hearing is dulled by the things of the world, if my desires and lust and taste and my affections and my wants are all attached to this old world and my hearing is dulled by the things of this earth, God, when that trumpet is blown, am I going to miss it? Because I do not desire or love the things of my affection is not set above. Am I going to miss it when you finally show up on the clouds, when you put your feet upon the Mount of Olives? Am I going to hear the great trumpet sound? I want to get up every morning with my hearing tuned to the trump of God. I want to hear him. I want to feel him. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. And the only way that's going to happen is my affections must be upon the things above. My love must be towards him. My desires must be towards him. I must hunger after him. In fact, the word of the Lord tells us that when he appears, he said his body, his church will be crying, come. Come, come. Can I fall so in love with him that I forget so much about this world and the things of this world that my heart just begins to call, come. I long for you, Jesus. I hunger for you, Jesus. You are my everything, oh God. Come. Can there be a cry right now from this church? Can this be our altar call? Can we cry out to him right now? Will you let your innermost being, will you loose your soul right now? Come, 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 Lord Jesus. Is there a hunger in your heart? Are you so attached to the world that you can't even call for him? Are you so attached to the things of the world that your soul cannot even cry out to him? Are you so afraid you're not ready that you cannot even cry out to him? Come, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come to me, Lord. Come, come, come for your church. Come, take your bride away. Come, take your bride away. Take us out of this world, oh God. We hunger for you. We thirst for you. We desire you. We cut the cords that hold us to this world. We loose ourselves from the things of this world. Come, 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 Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. Take your bride, take your bride, take your bride. Oh, God, we love you, we love you, we love you. Oh, there ought to be a hunger in us. There ought to be a desire in us that calls out to him every day. Every day, I long for you, Lord. I long for you, Lord. I believe Enoch longed for him so much that one day God just took him. Come, come, Lord, come. Come. Hallelujah. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can you feel the cords of this world just breaking off? Can't you feel the hold of this world loosening its grip? Can't you feel your affections for this world dying off? I want to be with you, Lord. I want to be with you, Lord. I want to feel you. I want to touch you. I want to make heaven my home. I want to make heaven my home. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. The rapture is real. Jesus is coming. And he's coming for a bride that hath made herself ready. Without spot and wrinkle. And we need to get this back on our mind. And we need to know that he could come anytime. It should make us into great witnessers. Great prayer warriors. Great Bible study teachers. Trying to reach as many people as possible before he actually comes, takes us all away. Praise God. I want to be a part of a church that is rapture ready. And a church that when Jesus comes, is doing everything they can to reach this city. teach Bible studies and pray and reach for God. Amen. So let's put prayer back in our life. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock on the property, the multi-purpose room, the church is going to be in prayer. I hope you can be there, if at all possible, if your job allows you. Let's make prayer part of our life. Let's read through the Bible this year. Let's get ourselves ready. And remember, if you're teachable, it's fixable. We can get rapture ready. We can fix it. God bless you. I love every one of you in Jesus' name.